One evening, and the classes that we had were discussion classes. So you had to sit around a table, and Victor would talk for a little while, and then Dr. Matthews would, you know, we would talk amongst ourselves, and see if you can relate to this. So there, I remember one of these evenings, I was really tired, and I was sitting there, and I was starting to doze off, or you know, daze off into the distance, and it was just one of those evenings where I wasn't really with it, and then I heard the dreaded words, right? You know, and immediately you sit straight up and you say, "Would you like to tell us what you think about that?" And immediately your head begins to rush and you just scramble and you have to say something smart. You have to sound like you know what's going on. You have to think you make him think you were listening. And I remember fumbling through something and I got it all through, and then you take a deep breath and it's like, "Oh, I made it. I survived." Until he then looks at you and says, "I don't know why you think that." And this persists, and then you have to fumble your way through, and it's just the way it goes. And you panic. Anybody relate to that? Everybody get called on without being aware of what's going on, and then you're forced to answer questions. There's a reason why, Dr. Matthews, and there's a reason why your teachers don't just stand and lecture. There's a reason why they call you out and say, "Can you answer this question for me?" It's because when we think about the question, when someone asks you questions, it forces us to think about what's being asked. It forces us to stop and look back and challenge ourselves to come up with an answer. It's not just listening to something and then repeating it. It's saying, use your brain, challenge yourself, and think about something. Tonight, we're going to look at some of the questions of the Bible, because that's what the questions are. It helps us, it challenges us to think. And tonight, we picked three questions from the Psalms, that some of which are, you know, direct, some of which are indirect, some of which are challenging, some of which are kind of basic. But regardless, all of the three questions that we're going to talk about tonight deal with the great questions of life and challenge us to think about our God, to think about ourselves, to think about how we relate to Him and what it means for life. And we've got three folks that are going to talk to us just briefly about each one of those. So that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to talk about, can I show you some of these questions? That's what we're going to do. Let's do some singing. Let's stand up together. Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the Lord. Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the Lord. Sing aloud to God, let the people shout before His throne. Hallelujah, sing aloud to God, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the Lord. Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the Lord. From the ends of the earth, from the depths of the sea, let all creation praise His name. From the ends of the earth, from the depths of the sea, let all creation praise His name. Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the Lord. Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the Lord. Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the Lord.
I be seated.
Light of the world, You step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore You. hope of a life spent with you. So here I am to worship, here I King of all days, all so highly exalts, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for our sake became poor. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God, you're altogether lovely, here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. Altogether wonderful to me. Beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you.
Amen. Let's sing one more and then we'll have a prayer.
Every time I kneel to pray, I open up my heart to my Lord. Every time I close my eyes, I feel a sweet embrace. And I don't know why so many things seem to get in the way of seeing my God's glory. But I try every day to see and to thank Him for all the things He's given me. Every time I see a child, I see the gentleness of my Lord. Every time I watch a storm, and I don't know why many things seem to get in the way of me, my God, for me. But I try every day to see and to thank Him for all the things He's given me. Every time I see a cross.
Amen.
Let's pray together.
Father God, we thank you so much for this evening and this blessing that you've given us to worship you and to be able to meet here with other congregations and other people of like faith tonight, Lord. We pray that you help us all to be encouraging and uplifting to one another tonight as we take part in this service. And we pray that you be with all of us tonight who may be hurting spiritually, and may our worship tonight be an encouragement to them, Lord. Be with them and strengthen them in ways that only you can. Father, we thank you so much for your awesome power and for your wonderful love and for each blessing that you've given to us each day. Help us to never take these things for granted. We thank you so much for his son and his sacrifice, and it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Sing a couple more, and then we'll have our first speaker for the night.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sword, still we are the voice in the desert, crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, so lift your voice. It's a year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. And these are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding a temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest, the fields are as white in your hands. And we are the laborers in your land, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. Have joy in the cross, who lives in our lives.
One more.
My soul magnifies the Lord.
My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior.
My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit
rejoices in God, my
glory be to God the Father, and glory be to the Son. Glory be to God the Spirit. Glory be to God, my God alone is mighty, mighty our God alone has done great things. God alone is worthy, worthy. God alone is
I will be reading Psalms 139, 7 through 14. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your words, and that my soul knows very well.
Good evening. How y'all doing tonight? Good. Good. Man, I didn't know, Travis, we were going to get to see a free gun show. I would have come and paid to see that. You know, the Samson, the guns. I tell you, you guys are beautiful. Your voices are beautiful. And if you go out this week with the beautiful spirit you just showed in your worship to God, the world will be a better place. For sure. Tonight we're going to look real quick at the question, what is man? Have you ever felt insignificant or small? Anybody ever felt that way? You know, I remember when I was 18 years old, I was blessed to go on a trip to Honduras, and we did a mission trip way out in the countryside. We took a bus as far as it could go, and the road stopped, and we got out, and we hiked as far as we could go on the trail, and it stopped, and then they said, well, we've got about 6 more hours to go, and so we kept going. And I'll never forget, there was a little 4-year-old girl that was beside me on the trail, and she didn't have shoes on, and that humbled me. I was 18, I was this, you know, young, strong man, and here was this little 4-year-old girl running beside me this whole hike. I'll never forget the stars that we looked at. You know, there was no light pollution. You could look up and see almost every star in the sky. Fast forward a little bit into college, and I did a trip to the West. Now, believe me, these classes exist, and if you want to know how to get into them, come see me. But we had a 2-week class where we traveled to the West, and we did exploration of the mountains from the southern part of the United States all the way to the northern part of the United States. And I'll never forget looking up and seeing the stars, seeing the universe, you know, without any light pollution, and how amazed I was at that. I'll never forget Glacier Park, if you've ever been to Glacier Park, the vastness of that place, how small it made me feel. It made me feel very small. I'll never forget when my son Braden was born, and my wife went away to the surgery room and left me there by myself, and how small I felt at that point. And then they brought him out later, and all was well, and I'm holding a brand new child, and how small I felt. Psalm chapter 8, verse 1. How majestic is thy name in all of the earth, who has displayed thy splendor above the heavens. Verse 3. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. Here's our question. What is man that thou dost take thought of him? The writer of this psalm no doubt felt a little insignificant when he looked around at the handiworks that God has made, and he asked the question, what is man that you would even take thought and notice of him? This is one of the great questions of life. This question has been asked for thousands of years, and no doubt it will be asked by generation after generation. In fact, it's a question you will ask yourself in some form or fashion if you haven't already. It may not sound the same. It may not come out as what is man. It may be something like, what's my purpose? Why am I here? What am I to be about? But before we go on answering the question, what is man, follow me on this train of thought real quick. Let's look at some implications of this real quick. You know, at the core of everything in this world, when you boil everything down and you look at it, man is either one of two things. Man is either a product of chaos, chance, and just another link in the natural order of things, okay? For man is created in the image of God. Man is thoughtfully and purposefully made by a chief designer of the universe. Those are the two diverging points. And how one answers this question is vitally important. It sets the filter through which you see the world. It sets the tone of your life. It gives you a way to look at yourself and to look at other people, mankind around you. You see, if we're only a product of chance, a product of chaos, just another link in the natural order of things, then man is only valuable as long as I see value in another human being. See, when the purpose for you has been fulfilled, then you're able to be discarded. This is seen throughout history in things like genocide, racism, segregation, euthanasia, murder, and abortion. You see, when you answer this question, it sets the tone, and it lays out two very diverging paths. What does the Bible have to say about this, though? What is man? The Bible paints a very different picture than we're taught and be made to think of when we go to school. It paints a very different picture about the human condition. When you look through the scriptures, the Bible describes man as the crown jewel of creation. The New Testament teaches that we are God's tabernacle. He no longer dwells in tents that were made by hands, but he dwells in the hearts of man. Man is the tabernacle of God in which the Spirit of God dwells. We're also called the pottery, in which we're in the hands of the potter being made into something beautiful. Our scripture reading just a minute ago, Psalm chapter 139. Turn right over there real quick. Verses 1 through 6, "The Lord has searched me and known me. Thou dost know when I sit down and when I rise up. Thou dost understand my thoughts from afar. Thou dost scrutinize my path and my lying down. You are intimately acquainted with all of my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. Thou hast enclosed me behind and before and laid thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high that I cannot attain it." Verse 13, "You did form my inward parts. You did weave me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. My frame was not hidden from thee when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Thine eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in thy book they were all written for me. As yet there was not one of them." Isaiah chapter 49, verse 16 speaks of us being written on the palm of God's hand. You know, the ultimate expression of all of this comes in John chapter 3. Nicodemus has some questions of Jesus, and Jesus lays out the verse we all know so well. And he says that, you know, God loved the world so much. What happened? He sent Jesus, not to condemn the world, but to save the world. So what is man? Well, sometimes we might feel very small and very insignificant when we look around at the universe about us. Man is valued. Man is loved. Man is created for great works. We were thoughtfully and wonderfully made, a masterpiece in the creation of God. Now it is our choice whether or not we are going to live as such.
All who are thirsty, all who are weak, won't you come to the fountain? Dip your heart in the stream of life. Let the pain and the sorrow be washed away, be washed away in the waves of your mercy, as deep cries out to deep, and we sing, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. All who are thirsty, all who are weak, won't you come to the fountain? Dip your heart in the stream of life. Let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of your mercy as deep cries out to deep and we sing, come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come.
It's fun to throw the new things at you a little bit. Relax, it's okay if you didn't know it. Good evening, I want to invite everybody as well, and thank you so much, Matt, for your lesson on our hearts there. I want to encourage you that if you're here tonight and you also are singing these songs and you think a song is overwhelming, the song that Adam led every time was written by a ninth grader in high school at church camp. So wet that on your heart a little bit when you sing these songs. Let's see where we're at here.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord, open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you, I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 holy. You are holy, 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 holy. I want to see you. Holy, 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 you are holy, 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 I want to see you, I want to see you. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surround His people. as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surround His people. Surround us, Lord. Surround us, O Lord. We need to be in Your presence. Surround us, Lord. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surround His people. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds His people. Surround us, Lord. Surround us, O be in Your presence. Surround us, Lord. Oh, surround us, Lord. Surround us, O Lord. We need to be in Your presence. Surround us, Lord. Oh, surround us,
the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making the wise simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true, the righteousness altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey, the drippings of the honeycomb. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in Your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for coming out. It's been wonderful to hear all your voices in the front. It's great to hear everybody out here. It's been, what, 2-3 years since we've been able to host one? I think the last time we had one, Adam specifically told us we are not doing January again, but here we are, and everything's great. So in the past, in the beginning of the year, our preacher, we started doing these series where we ask questions of the Bible, and we look at how they influence the lives of the people who ask the questions, and we see how they can influence our lives. And so in keeping with that, we've each picked out questions, as Adam's already explained to you. So my question comes from Psalm 119, verse 9, which is, how can a young man or young people keep their way pure? And this is kind of a unique question because this kind of lies under the surface of all the decisions that we make as Christians. You know, from 3 pages into the history of the world, the question was no longer what is right and what is wrong, because we know that now. It's now, you know, how do I keep intact this relationship that I have with my God, and do I even need my God? And so I want to tackle the second question first. Before I was baptized, and I've only been baptized about a year, but before, I can remember my dad always bringing it up, and in my head, whenever I'd sit in church, I'd sit around, I'd look at all the people, and I'd say, you know, if I could just be them, if I could just be that perfect, if I could just be 100% for God, 100% of the time, then I could do this, I could make that decision. And I remember one night, my dad brought it up, and we were talking about this, and Bill actually did a sermon on this today. And I remember my dad, when I brought this up, thinking about it, he sat back in his very, very wise way. He sat back in his rocking chair. He said to me, "Son, if you don't need God, if you don't need Him to cleanse you, then what role does He really play in your spiritual life?" And that really hit me. And that was when I truly understood what Christianity really was. And I came to understand that as we progress in life, we're never going to reach a point where we're super old, where we're like 40. I mean, we're just ancient. That one's for you, Dad. We reach this point in our lives where we can say, "I've done everything right now. I've done all this, and now I'm absolutely positive that my life, I've just made all the right decisions." And so the role that God plays in our lives, He wants to be that fatherly figure where He can come in, and He knows when we've made mistakes, and he can fix it for us. You know, He wants us to ask for things and fix it for us, you know. And so the question now is, how do we keep our relationship with God intact now that we know that we need Him? And one really generic answer for this is to do what He tells you to do. You know, that's just it. But I want to dive a little bit deeper into this. And how do we know what God wants us to do? And that's really simple. We have a relationship with Him. I mean, how great is your relationship with God if you're only speaking with Him twice a week? You know, you really need to listen to Him and what He's telling us to do. And the only way to do that is to read. And I think once you really dive in and try to listen to what God's, happens to me every time I get up here. Once we really dive into Scripture, and we can really find out what God asks us to do, and we can find out that it's really not a lot. In Micah chapter 6, verse 8, he tells us, "He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God." I think it's amazing because when we picture God as this big mighty being, who is powerful and who can just wipe people off the face of the earth, all that He asks us to do as followers is to be kind and to humble ourselves. And I think that's an amazing thought. And so, closer.
All right.
And so once we figure that out, we can tie this in with another scripture, which is probably my favorite in the whole Bible. It's 1 John 1, chapter 7. "But if we walk in light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." We aren't ever going to be, you know, perfect, but the point is to let God kind of take over things and to understand when we've messed up. And so going back to Psalms, which is my chapter, my verse, Psalms 19, verse 9, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word." If we listen to God and we understand the role that He plays in our life, and we listen to Him and we understand what we need to do, and we walk in His ways, His nature will constantly cleanse us and keep our way pure.
He came to live a perfect life. He came to be the living Word, our light. He came to die, so we'd be reconciled. He came to rise, to show His power and might. And that's why we praise Him, that's why we sing, that's why we offer Him our everything. That's why we bow down and worship this King, 'cause He gave His everything. 'Cause He gave His everything. He came to live again in us. He came to be our conquering King and friend. He came to heal and show the lost ones His love. He came to go, prepare a place for us. And that's why we praise Him, that's why we sing, that's why we offer Him our everything. That's why we bow down and worship this King, 'cause He gave His everything. 'Cause He gave His everything. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. That's why we praise Him, that's why we sing, that's why we offer Him our everything. That's why we bow down and worship this King, 'cause He gave His everything. 'Cause He gave His everything. That's why we bow and worship this King, 'cause He gave His everything. 'Cause He gave His everything.
Hear the cost, it was a little high.
Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend. Who would have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, You've rescued the souls of men. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. Counselor, Comforter, Keeper, Spirit we long to embrace. You offer hope when our hearts have hopelessly lost our way. Oh, we've hopelessly lost our faith. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. Almighty, infinite Father, faithfully loving Your own. Here in our weakness You find falling before Your throne. Oh, we're falling before Your throne. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for.
Be strong and courageous and do not be afraid. The Lord goes with you each and every day. He'll never forsake you. Don't be afraid. He'll never forsake you. Don't be afraid. The Lord goes before you through the trouble and strife, and He will protect you all the days of your life. He'll never forsake you. Don't be afraid. 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 I think we're done there.
I'll be reading from Psalms 103, verses 1 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget all of His benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your truth will be renewed like eagles.
How blessed we are for your presence, and the singing is beautiful, and thank you so much for all your participation to help us give glory to God as we do it together. My question tonight that we're going to finish with is really simple. It's a question from David in Psalm 113, in which he simply asks the question that's in front of you. Who is there that is like God? Read with me Psalm 113. Let's start in the first verse. David says, "Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its going down, the Lord's name is to be praised." And the verse in front of you. "The Lord is high above all nations. His glory is above the heavens. Who is like our God, who dwells on high, who humbles himself to behold that are in the to behold the things that are in the heavens and the earth?" It's a really simple question. Who is there that is like our God? Of course, the simple answer is there is no one. There is no one that is like our God. Think about what we've said so far. Think about the questions that we've asked up to this point. Who am I, essentially, right? What's my purpose? What is man? Who am I that in all of this vast expanse, here I am, little old insignificant me. Who am I? What is my purpose in this world? Or think about the question, really the second one that Josh talked about, really a similar one. Who am I? How is it that I am supposed to live? What does that have to do? If I'm this one that is in some way so insignificant and yet loved and cherished and created by God, what does that mean for me? Who am I? How do I keep my way pure? What does it look like every day if I think about the fact that I am fearfully and wonderfully made? I'm someone who wants to do good, right? We are someone, Josh mentioned it, we are people who will never, ever be on our own good enough. We will never by ourselves be the people who live up to the standard in the way we should. We want to be so good, and yet we fall short so often. We are so imperfect. Who is like our God? The answer, of course, is there is no one, nobody. There is no one that is like our God. And this is why. Let's keep reading this. In verse 13, he says, listen again, "He is so high, He is high above the heavens, His glory is above the heavens, He is above all nations." In fact, he says, He is so high that He has to humble Himself to behold the things that are in the heavens. So as high as we could possibly think and look, God has to be the one to bring Himself down to be able to look at them. How How is our God? Who is like our God? This is why there is no one like him. Because even though he is that high, we're told that he raises, verse 7, the poor out of the dust, and he lifts those that are needy out of the ash heap, that we may seat him, that he may seat him with the princes and with the princes of his people, and he grants the barren woman a home like a joyful mother of children. There is no one that is as high as God. And yet as high and mighty and full of glory as he is not above lowering himself into the messes that we make and lowering himself to the lowest of all of the low of this earth, the poor, lifting them up out of the dust, lifting those that mourn, the needy ones, out of the heaps of ashes, taking the woman who is barren and granting her a position as a joyful mother of children and seating these people in the heavenly places we talked about this morning to lift us up and to raise us up. Who is like our God? No one. Because in spite of everything that we talked about who we are and our own identity, he is still one who reaches down and grabs us by the hand and walks with us and, as Josh said a minute ago, cleanses us all along the way. Who am I in this vast world? I am significant. I am created in the image of God, wonderfully and fearfully made and loved. What does that mean for me? Well, it means that I'm someone who's willing to walk according to his word. I'm someone who is willing to say, I can't do it on my own, and I will never do it on my own, and I will never be good enough on my own, but I have a Savior who washes as long as I walk with him. That is why David would ask the question, who in the world is like our God? There is nobody like our God. And we've kind of worked our way backwards. But to finish with this simple question, to be reminded of the fact that we have a God who is like none other, who will cleanse like none other, who blesses like none other, who washes us like none other, and simply invites us to walk with him along the way. And that's our invitation for you tonight, for all of us who are sitting here. This is our God. This is the God whom we all need to know. This is the only God who washes and gives you hope. He is the only God who gives us something to look forward to and blesses us in the way that he does. We are grateful for all of your presence tonight, and we are thankful that you've been with us to worship and to praise. And we want to close tonight by simply offering you, all of us who are here together, an invitation that if you are in a position where you don't know this God, where you don't know what it's like to live in constant cleansing, where you are, and you might be in a place where you feel so insignificant, I hope these things have reminded you that you're not. That you are significant and loved, and you have the ability to be washed and cleansed. And we want to invite you, if you're in that position, to come to the front while we stand and sing.
All powers above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, lay behind the stone. You lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all. Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man. You were here before. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there was your crucified, laid behind the stone. You lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall, thought of me above all. Crucified, laid behind the stone. You lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all.
Please be seated.
Hello, everybody. How many was out and about yesterday in the warm sunshine? Anybody think, wow, feels like camp season? Well, it is camp season, or there near of. We have 16 weeks from tomorrow, the first camp session begins. Larry, where's Larry? Stand up. Tim, stand up in the back. You see, if you received a camper registration form in the mail last year, you're on the mailing list, and you'll be receiving one at the end of this week or at the beginning of next week. I'll be getting those in the mail. If you did not receive one in the mail last year and you're interested in Happy Hollow this summer, or if you have some friends that may be interested, I got some with me. You can grab me, you can grab Larry, you can grab Tim. Just grab one of us, and we'll get you set up. And the joke's on Josh. I'm not 40. I'm 44, but his mother is 45.
And I'm not going to say how old I am. The next area-wide youth night will be at Fordland next month. If you happen to not get one of these via mail or email, let me know after services tonight, and I'll try to get you on the list. But we're doing things a little bit different for our youth weekend this year at Fordland. We're starting on Saturday afternoon instead of Saturday morning, so we'll start registration from 12:30 to 1, and then we'll get it kicked off. Should last till about 6 o'clock, and we're doing a lot of things different this year. Lonnie Jones will be the speaker. The theme this year is spiritual self-identity. Christianity is not what you do, it's what you are. And coming with Lonnie is the SWAT team members. And if you've never seen the SWAT guys, skits with a truth, you can find a few videos on YouTube. If you've ever been to Challenge Youth Conference in Dallas or in Pigeon Forge, the one in Pigeon Forge is coming up in just a couple of weeks, and they usually have about 12 or 13,000 people there. And Lonnie is one of the speakers there every year. The SWAT guys also go there, I believe, every year and do their skits. We're having these guys at Fordland this year They will be doing their skits at the conclusion of the day on Saturday. So if you'd like to see those guys, be sure and show up on Saturday. And also, during the day, there'll be some of the SWAT team members are also youth ministers and preachers and such, and they'll be having some classes. So this year, you'll have a couple of classes that you can choose from on Saturday, and Lonnie will be bringing a couple of lessons Saturday, as well as class on Sunday morning, and the worship service Sunday morning, and then of course, on Sunday evening, we'll conclude with the area-wide youth night. Lonnie will be the speaker then. So, like I said, if you didn't get one of these, see me after services, and I'll get you on the mailing list. Thank you.
All right. Just one more time, thank you so much for all of you who have made the trek over here. Thank you for the encouragement that you give us. Thank you for the encouragement that you give our congregation and all the people who have come tonight. We appreciate you, and we appreciate all of the spirit that you young people possess and that you challenge us with, and we're grateful that you come and been with us tonight. Just a couple things for our family here that we need to be aware of. I've had them written down, but I've laid them down somewhere and left them. So if I forget things, I apologize. We need to keep the Lowe family and the Cobb family both in our prayers this week at the loss of some of their loved ones. So please remember those folks both in your prayers. Their emails and information that we can have put out about the specifics of those things. There is a thank you note from Eileen Birdsong for all of the cards and prayers and all of their ordeal, and from Marlene, her daughter as well, who is finally able to be home. But keep Marlene and Marty, her husband, as well as Eileen in your prayers. Please keep Bill and Kay in your prayers. Bill was so disappointed to not be able to be here tonight. They had to go to Mountain Home again to try to help out with his mother's situation, and so it was a difficult day for them again. So they're going to be driving home again late tonight probably. So please keep them in your prayers and all the things that are going on. Thank you for all of the people who participated tonight, all the folks who were up here, and the folks who did things ahead of time to get things ready. If you see one of these young fellows who were up here tonight, tell them that you're proud of them. Tell them that they're encouraged by them, because I know that we all are. Couple things. All right, so for those of our family here, there is Panera Bread in the back, I'm told. So if you want to grab some, I would get in there quick before all these folks, these young people get in there, because there may not be any left if they're in line. There's Panera Bread in there. Help yourself to that. In a minute, we're going to sing a song. And as we sing our closing song, if you have not had the opportunity to take the Lord's Supper today, it is prepared in one of the rooms in the back. And so when we stand and sing a song in just a minute, go ahead and dismiss yourself, and there'll be some fellows in the hallway to help direct you to where you need to go. Couple instructions, which you've all been waiting for, where we need to eat. Okay, we're going to eat in the big giant hall that's directly behind us, straight back. You can go in either of the double doors on either side. It is sandwich night, and so there are lots of sandwiches of all different kinds. Some are hot, some are cold. They are on either side of the table, so help yourself on either side. Go through. There will be ladies to help you. The desserts are all the way on the back wall, and the drinks are all the way on the back wall. Help yourself. We should have plenty of sandwiches for you to have tonight. So thank you to all of our moms and some dads who made some sandwiches for our meal tonight. We appreciate all of the work. Make sure that when you go through, you tell all of those ladies and guys thank you for all of the work that they put in to make sure that you could eat tonight. So be kind and be gracious to them, or they will take your sandwiches away. So, I gave them permission. I believe that's it. Thank you so much again for coming out tonight. Let's stand, and we will sing one more song, and then we'll be led in our closing prayer.
In my life, Lord, be glorified, be glorified. In my life, Lord, be glorified today. In my song, Lord, be glorified, be glorified. In my song, Lord, be glorified today. In your church, Lord, be glorified, be glorified. In your church, Lord, be glorified today. In my life, Lord, be glorified, be glorified. In my life, Lord, be glorified today.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, just want to thank you for giving us the opportunity to come out and worship you tonight. And we ask that you'd be with us as we go out into our daily lives and spread your word. Lord, please be with the ones who are ill, whether it's physically or spiritually. And Lord, please bless the food that's prepared for us and the hands who made it. And help us have a good week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.